Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, yeah. Wake up, yeah. Wake up, yeah. Wake up, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah, it don't matter. Yeah, yeah. What race, creed, or color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
Before I get started into some of the main topics I want to talk about today,
I want to go over some quick headlines for some folks that may not be aware. May have seen in the news, you may not have seen already, that Bank of America is starting to charge its customers a $5 monthly service fee for the use of your debit cards. And as if they aren't making enough money already, I understand they will also charge a 24-cent fee per transaction. So other banks are now conducting tests as to the feasibility of doing this well out in the western half of the United States. My suggestion to you is to join a small local bank or a credit union, preferably a credit union. Because as a credit, in a credit union, basically you are a shareholder. You get a vote and who sits on the board, and you don't encounter a lot of these ridiculous fees that you see from banks. The other thing is these banks basically are using a lot of the money, the profits that they're making, to back these Republican candidates that are running for president. So we need to take money out of their coffers and put it into other places where it will do a lot better good for the country. E-Trade also offers free checking and 24/7 access to your funds and free debit cards. So keep that in mind. If you're a Bank of America customer, start moving your accounts. I think if enough people start doing this across the country, it'll send a message. And granted, they're not always accessible as far as credit unions, but the more people that start to move into credit unions, then they'll start building branches and other locales just like the banks did. So that's something we need to do as a strategic step forward to take the money out of the hands of corporations and put it into the hands of the people who can do some good. I'm sure everybody by now has heard the news about country singer Hank Williams Jr. comparing President Obama to Hitler and being suspended from performing for the opening for Monday Night Football. Frankly, I'm glad that the NFL acted in haste like they did. Of course, they knew their image, lots of money was at stake, so they would have made that move quite quickly. My hope is that they fire him versus trying to bring him back at some period of suspension. And if you had to write the commissioner, the address is to NFL offices at 280 Park Avenue, 15th floor, New York, New York, 10017. Again, that's NFL offices, 280 Park Avenue, 15th floor, New York, New York, 10017. And I believe the email for the commissioner is roger.goodell2@nfl.net. I haven't been able to confirm that yet, but that is the email address that I was given. Again, that's roger.goodell, G-O-O-D-E-L-2, the number 2, at nfl.net. Next up in the news, Representative Louise Slaughter, Democrat out of New York, and several Democrats are seeking to have Justice Clarence Thomas retroactively recused from several cases that he had decided but failed to report money his wife earned as a lobbyist. She earned approximately, well, first figure said she earned $700,000. Latest figure I heard as of yesterday, she earned approximately $1.6 million and was associated with the Citizens United case, which allows corporations to basically give infinite amounts of money to political candidates, basically turning our election system into a buyer beware system, if you want to call it that. But it allows corporations basically to line the pockets of politicians and take over our government. Again, she earned approximately $1.6 million for that. She also worked with the Heritage Foundation, and that is the foundation which seeks to overturn President Obama's Affordable Health Care Act. So those are conflicts of interest in regards to Clarence Thomas. And in cases, for example, Citizens United, he was the deciding vote in that case. So if he was to be retroactively recused, that case would be a tie, and therefore that would take it back to the courts to decide again as far as the fate of corporations being able to dump dollars into political candidates' pockets. Good news, the Democratic candidate for governor of West Virginia, Earl Ray Tomlin, was able to hold that seat in the special election. So that's a nice win for the blue team. I know we had some discouraging special election results in some other areas, and didn't quite get the results that we wanted. But this is starting to turn around. I think enough people have seen from the representatives in Congress and the Senate that the Republicans, being the party of no, don't have anything good intended for the citizens of this country. And it's starting to take a toll on them, I believe. Early yet to tell that, but I think in time, as we get closer and closer to the 2012 elections and they continue to do some of the things that they've been doing, we'll see more and more of that. I also heard that the Senate wants to rewrite the president's jobs plan. Now, in my view, this is just a waste of time. They basically are trying to stall because the Republicans don't want to have the President Obama's jobs plan go to the floor for a vote. I say they need to make the Republicans vote on the President's Jobs Act, make them show their constituents that they aren't about jobs at all, that they're about protecting the wealthy. And so we need to step it up and push again in on the Senate and Congress to pass the Jobs Act. And I'll get later on in the discussion here, I'll get to some information. You can reach out to your representatives and your congressmen to have them put pressure on bringing the bill to the floor and force a vote. We need to have a vote on it. Whether they pass or not, we want that vote so we know who's for it and who's against it. So in the upcoming elections, we know who to be against, who to support. So that's something we really need to be about. Okay? Today, there was a conference held in Washington, D.C. this week. It started on Monday. It ended today, and it was Take Back the American Dream Conference. You can get a breakdown of the events of the conference at www.rebuildthedream.com or www.ourfuture.org/conference. They ended the session today with a rally outside the Capitol. And I attended the rally for Take Back the Dream. And the battle cry is jobs, not cuts. When I got down there for the rally today, I guess seeing how things were when I was growing up and we had civil rights movements and things like that, and I've seen a lot of different, I'll say, demonstrations and rallies of this event. I was expecting there to be, you know, I guess my idea was I was expecting there to be thousands upon thousands of people there. Instead, what I found was there were in range of about 400 to 500 people that were outside the Capitol building. All of the mainstream media was there recording the events that were going on. There were several different speakers that came forward. Van Jones, who was the former White House green job czar, was the lead spokesperson. And once I got into it and saw what was going on, I was quite impressed with what was going on with the rally. Even though there weren't large numbers of people, but the representation was from all over the country. People from Oregon, groups from Ohio, Louisiana, New York, you name it. There were people from Chicago. There were people from all walks of the country. Different groups being represented. There were a lot of young college students. There were union representatives. You name it. And one thing about this organization, it has already dwarfed the Tea Party as far as numbers of members and size. Now, to listen at the spokesperson for the group, the Rebuild the Dream organization is about 600,000 members strong right now across the country. And they were saying that at this stage of their growth, their development, the Tea Party at this time, when they were first forming, was only about 50,000 members. So they're far and away much larger and still organizing and getting things moving across the country. There were people there also from the Occupy movements that you've seen in place in places like New York and Chicago and L.A. There's actually going to be an Occupy D.C. movement that gets underway tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in Freedom Plaza. So we want to see if we can go it as big as some of the events in other places and other cities around the country. I heard that there were as many as 700 arrested in New York this past weekend, bringing the total number of arrests to around 800 since the movement began. I haven't heard arrests taking place in other cities thus far. This is a nonviolent protest. So if you participate, please conduct yourself accordingly. We've got to get involved, people. We've got to get involved and be proactive about all these situations right now. We can't wait 6 months from now because then it'll be too late. The Tea Party and the Republicans will have really pushed their agenda to that point. So we have to stop all of these things that are going on right now, make our voices be heard, protests, different legal organizations getting involved to help combat some of the issues as well. But it takes our voices to be heard to make this happen. We have to be loud. Like the Tea Party was loud in the last elections, we have to do the same thing. We have to come forward and speak up. This is our livelihood. This is our country. We want to get back to the way of life that we enjoyed before the 2010 elections. We want to do away with all these wealthy bankers and financial fund managers to continue to just line their pockets while everybody else is out of work and our wages are being pushed down. Unions are being destroyed. Collective bargaining out the door. So we've got to stand up and be heard now. This is a movement that is spontaneously taking place across the country. And everybody needs to get involved. Make your voice heard one way or another. Send an email, make a phone call, donate to an organization, but do something to be counted. Okay, on the American Jobs Act, as it stands now, Republicans don't even want to bring the bill to the floor of the House for a vote. And Representative Cantor has stated the bill is dead on arrival. So once again, the Republicans that ran in 2010 on the promise of creating jobs, all they've done is to be an obstacle to doing just that. Understand, we went through this jobs plan, and as a matter of fact, last week while I was ill, we did a rebroadcast of the details of the job plan. But just to remind everybody, you know, without it, there's going to be a lot more people that are suffering than what we have right now, and without any aid whatsoever. In other words, when unemployment insurance runs out, without this job plan being approved, there will be no more. We let the Republicans have their way about it. The president's job plan extends unemployment benefits to 79 weeks. You know, he wants to create infrastructure jobs open to all, eliminating any kind of discrimination whatsoever for construction workers to get out here and work on our roads and bridges, railways and highways. Payroll tax cuts. The average family making $50,000 a year will save $1,500 in taxes. And as far as small businesses, they would cut payroll taxes in half up to $5 million for small businesses to help them to grow. If you want to state by state exactly what your state stands to benefit from the America's Job Act by President Obama, you can go to whitehouse.gov, and there is a state-by-state look at the American Jobs Act there. And all you have to do is click on it. It'll bring up all the details. It'll tell you how many jobs you expect to save in your state, the construction projects, working on schools, what it's going to do for unemployment, the job sharing programs, all of those different things. The numbers are there. And every economist that has looked at this has said it is the most thorough plan that could have come forward. It tackles all directions, especially talking about taxes as well. And that's the one thing that the Republicans don't want to do. Again, they've signed a pledge to Greg Norquist, someone who's not even in office. He's basically just on the Koch brothers' payroll. And basically his job is to go out and get Republicans to pledge that they will not raise taxes in any way. And that means even to the point of eliminating loopholes. The loopholes that are subsidies from the government. Those aren't taxes they pay. That's money they get from the government. So that's money that comes from us, the taxpayers. And we need to put a stop to it. The president has asked that we call, email, fax, tweet, Facebook, whatever means to get to a congressional representative and urge them to pass this bill. So if you haven't done this, I urge you, please, take time. It doesn't take 2 minutes to make a phone call to your representative or send an email to your representative to say, please pass the bill and not the buck. Stop protecting the wealthy. Help those that vote and put you in office. We are your constituents. We pay your salary. So pass this bill. We have to make it happen. We cannot sit idly by and hope for the best. If you want to find out who your senator is, you simply look on senate.gov and look up your state, and it'll have their information there for you to contact them. Same thing for your representative. You go to house.gov, and it'll have everything there for you to contact them. So please do. Do it today, and don't stop until we get action. At least have the bill go to the floor for a vote. If you want to get a hold of the Speaker of the House, Representative John Boehner, you can find his number. It's 202-225-0600. Representative Eric Cantor, who's the majority leader in the House, 202-225-2815. Then you have Senator Mitch McConnell on the Senate side, who represents the minority lead on that side, 202-224-2541. Again, all these numbers are available on the website, so please, please, please act. We need to reach out and fill these phones and emails with our voices to get these people to act and to do something. Let them know we're not going to just sit idly by while they run the country into the ground and hand it over to the wealthy. I mean, if you saw some of the news this weekend where in the Occupy New York, protesters were being beaten and arrested and sprayed with pepper spray, and there were people on Wall Street sitting up on their balconies drinking champagne watching the events going on. I mean, to me, that was just ridiculous. That was an outrage to have someone doing that. It speaks very poorly of us as Americans in this country when we have no compassion for one another and we let things like this go on. The rich get richer and they don't care about anything else. I mean, really, how much wealth is enough in this country for any one individual? I understand about socialism and communism and everything else, and that's not what I'm advocating. That's not what I'm preaching. But there comes a time when enough is enough. How much more can you accumulate? And the thing is, you can't take it with you. So do something philanthropic with it. Help somebody. I'm pleased I had to see that certain individuals that have come forward. One billionaire, matter of fact, here in the Washington, D.C. area, pledged to give half of his wealth away to help create jobs in the D.C. area. And we want decent jobs. We don't want minimum wage jobs. We want jobs where people can learn a trade or learn a skill and earn a decent wage to live at some type of an acceptable standard of living. So this is what this is all about. This is what we're pushing for, and I'm hoping that all of you will join and struggle with us. Again, if you want to make a comment, I appreciate you want to call in at 646-378-0763 and press 1 to speak. If you have any comment whatsoever, if you want to talk about something that I haven't even talked about yet or any other subject, deal with what's going on around the country politically, please do so. Again, the number is 646-378-0763. Okay. The next area I'd like to talk about, which is really key to what's going to happen next year, is everything that we see going on from a voter suppression standpoint. I'm not sure how many people are aware of what's happening. And it's happening basically across the country, not just in isolated pockets. But there was a poll that was put out by Gallup. Before we get into that discussion, there was a poll put out by the Gallup organization earlier in the week, and it talked about voter enthusiasm. And what that basically says is voter enthusiasm among Democrats is 45%, while among Republicans it's 58%. What that means is they are already willing to turn out in greater numbers to vote than Democrats. And if that happens, we can be assured of having a Republican in the White House. And I don't know about you, but looking at the current batch that's running right now, I'd be scared to death to have any one of them sitting in that chair of power with their finger on the button and knowing what they would do to continue to decimate the middle class of America. If you think it's bad now, you haven't seen anything yet at the end of one of these Republican presidents. You really have to be aware of what's going on. As a matter of fact, I got a hot news flash just before coming on. Herman Cain, who now seems to be one of the top contenders for the Republicans, was doing an interview with the Wall Street Journal. And just to give you one line out of this, he says, "You don't have a job and you're not rich, blame yourself." Now, the article goes on where he says he really doesn't have the facts to back it up, but he happens to believe the demonstrations that are planned and orchestrated to distract from the failed policies of the Obama administration. Where are you getting this stuff from? I tell you, I don't understand. I don't know. He must be really on some strong drugs. But he said, don't blame Wall Street. Don't blame the big banks. If you don't have a job and you're not rich, blame yourself. Now imagine somebody that thinks that way sitting in the most powerful office in the world. Imagine sitting there behind that desk and making decisions that affect all of us. He has no clue what's going on with the American people. Like most of the Republicans, they don't know and they don't care. And he's just one more that's in that realm. I find it's unfathomable that he can even make a statement like that. He is completely out of touch with the American people. So here's what we need to do, America. We need to get out here and really start looking into, first off, doing voter registration drives. And in order to do that, you need to understand that the Republicans, in the 2010 election, they not only took over the House of Representatives of the United States, they took over numerous state legislatures around the country. And that's why you're seeing all these things that are occurring across the United States. Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, South Carolina. You're seeing all these things happen where they're passing laws to suppress votes from Democrats, specifically minorities, the elderly, the poor, and college students. Because that's turned out in droves for President Obama in the last election. And one of the things I wanted to bring up, a lot of people think that simply because this Republican field is not very strong and there's so much dirt that is coming out on them in the press as they continue to campaign. But understand, America has a very short memory. And when it comes time for them to nominate whoever their candidate is going to be, there's going to be tons of money behind that individual to put advertisements on the air, and they're banking on what they call low-information voters. Those are basically a low-information voter on the Republican, in the Republican's way of thinking, is a person who doesn't do due diligence, who doesn't do their homework, research what a candidate is about. They don't look into what this person stands for, what they voted for, what their civil rights background is, what they've done in regards to helping out the elderly or the poor. Some of them have never been in a legislative position, such as Herman Cain. He's only been a businessman. He has no idea what it takes to run a government. You know, Mitt Romney seems to try to run on the idea that he's not a career politician. Well, the only reason he isn't a career politician is because he lost so many elections. But we have to really get out here and understand. I mean, it scares me to death to think that one of them could get an office. And we've got the most brilliant president, in my opinion, that we've had in that seat in a long, long time. Really do. And we owe it to ourselves, to this country, to the world, to keep him there. So, as I mentioned, there's been a rash of changes to voter registration requirements and proposals that have been generated in numerous states in an attempt to disenfranchise minorities, the elderly, some of our young voters, and military, as a matter of fact. So basically, anyone who doesn't look, think, or talk like the GOP base, basically we have to help out as much as we can all fronts to get people out. So if you've got friends, relatives that don't have transportation or are you know, weak or elderly and need to get to a location to register, please do so. Help them. Help them in any way. Orchestrate voter registration drives. Put something together where you all can chip in and charter a bus or something like that to take everybody down at one time. But here's what's happening right now. As they captured the majority of the legislatures, states, there are eight states right now that have enacted voter ID requirements. Texas, Kansas, Wisconsin, Indiana, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. These states require you now to have a photo ID. And what some of these same states have done is you get the photo ID through the Department of Motor Vehicles, Department of Transportation, licensing facilities. Well, what they've done in some cases, such as in Wisconsin and South Carolina, is they've closed a lot of those facilities in Democratic districts in what they claim to be budget-cutting maneuvers to save money for the state. They claim they would extend hours of those facilities in Republican districts when, in fact, they actually turn back the hours. I know for a fact they did that in Wisconsin. I'm not so sure about South Carolina. But these are the issues that we're facing. It's meant to discourage you from going to get the voter registration. There are difficulties also associated with that. In the fact the voter IDs are, right? In fact, that some states require you to prove your citizenship. Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Kansas, and Arizona. In order to get a voter ID card in one of those states, you must prove that you are a citizen of the United States. Now then, they list documents that you must use to do that, such as a birth certificate, passport, whatever. If you don't have a birth certificate and you don't live, let's say you're from another state and you move to one of these other states, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Kansas, or Arizona, you have to request a birth certificate then if you don't have a passport. And I know of an individual, and I was trying to get her to come on the show today to talk about her experience with trying to acquire her birth certificate. Now, there's an organization that you can go to online called vital.org, and that's a nationwide organization that basically goes out and requests like birth certificates and other personal records and things. Well, they basically went through the Georgia branch of vital.org to get the information and requested a full ID from the individual and whatnot in order to be able to send them their birth certificate. Long story short, it went back and forth between the two different organizations. The individual finally had to do a three-way call with both organizations just so one wouldn't stop giving her the runaround and saying it was the other one's fault. So when she got both of them on finally, they couldn't point the finger anymore, and one of them finally fessed up it was their fault of why it was taking so long and why she was getting such a runaround. She still hasn't gotten the birth certificate yet. Okay, so this is just to let you know, we can't sit around and wait. We have to act now. You cannot wait until the 11th hour and try to go out and get a photo ID. You need to do that now. You need to be ready now. The other things that they're doing, they are cutting the time in half for early voting. And the reason they're doing that is because they found in past elections, Democratic voters tend to be the ones ones that take advantage of early voting in much higher numbers. Republicans turn out more on the day of voting, but Democrats take advantage of early voting because it allows them to go in when it's convenient for them. You may be working, you may not have the time off, you may, you know, have small children, you may be going to school or whatever. Early voting is an advantage to you. And therefore, now they're basically going to cut that in half. So to make it hopefully a little bit harder and not get such a great turnout. There's a county in Colorado, Denver County. They are trying to put forth a bill that will only allow voters to vote that voted in the 2010 elections. What does that tell you? In the 2010 elections, there was a large Republican turnout. So they only want basically that large base of Republicans to turn out. Now, where this is going, I don't know. It's something I just heard about the other day and researched on the web. Hopefully, it's not something that's going to get passed. In Maine, where you used to be able to register and vote on the same day, you can no longer do that. So you have to register beforehand if you want to vote on election day. Washington, Oregon, these states, you can only vote by mail. Now, there's a problem here because I'm sure everybody's aware that the Republicans are trying to pass a bill now to basically do away with the Postal Service. And they want to reduce the postal workforce by 120,000 employees with the aim basically of trying to privatize the Postal Service. Any idea whose ballots will get through if they are successful in doing that in Washington and Oregon? Take a guess, people. Take a guess. It's a Republican ploy. Washington and Oregon have essentially turned out, for the most part, for President Obama in 2008. And if they can do away with the post office, which is their only method of voting, guess what? The reason I'm mentioning these things is because I was in a conversation with an individual, and she mentioned a number to me. And I'll give her name. Her name is Catherine McClendon. And we were having a discussion, and it never even dawned on me from the 2008 election of how narrow a margin that President Obama won by. You know, everybody on the news and mainstream media seems to tout it as some kind of a landslide. Well, from an electoral standpoint, it was a fairly wide victory. But the issue is, it was only about 7 to 8% margin. What the Republicans are doing with all these small tactics of theirs is attacking us on multiple points to basically try to disenfranchise voters on many different levels and in many different ways to negate that 7 or 8%. So where we're sitting back thinking because of the Republican field out there right now that there aren't really any serious contenders, that they don't stand a chance, that's not the thing to be looking at. The thing to be looking at is what they are doing to take away your right to vote, to take away your ability to vote. And if we sit here until the 11th hour, they will be successful in what they are trying to do to us right now. And we can't have that happen, people. We really can't. I don't even want to think about what this country will be like. Republicans get into the White House, maintain control of the House of Representatives, and gain control of the Senate, there will be no stopping their agenda whatsoever. None. They will repeal health care. They will levy taxes on us to pay off the deficit instead of levying taxes on the wealthy. The rich will just continue to get richer. And corporations will have everything that they want. They will abolish the Environmental Protection Agency. There are so many things they want to do to destroy this country. Please be proactive. Talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, talk to your relatives. We have to act now. We cannot sit by complacently and let this happen to us. You really have to grasp the full gravity of what is going on around us. Please do so. In Nebraska and Pennsylvania, another issue about voter suppression. Nebraska right now the way their electoral votes are cast is whatever district candidate wins, he gets the electoral votes for that district. In Pennsylvania, if the candidate gets the majority of the votes in Pennsylvania, they get all the electoral votes in Pennsylvania. The Republicans right now are actually trying to switch that. They're trying to make so that if a candidate that wins Nebraska gets all of the votes of Nebraska. Because there's not very many, and it would be a small margin for a Republican to basically take that state and then get all of the electoral votes. Pennsylvania, on the other hand, has large pockets of Democratic populations, and so therefore they want to split the electoral votes there so that the Republicans in their districts that win would get part of those votes, and the other part would go to the Democratic candidate. Basically make it harder for President Obama to get the 270 electoral votes that he would need to maintain office. It's scary, isn't it? Somebody is sitting somewhere, some committee somewhere in a room, thinking all these things up, thinking of ways they can basically just attack and dismantle our government that's been in place for hundreds of years and works so well with our systems of checks and balances, to now be completely under attack and be dismantled. And we're sitting here watching it happen. Now, if things continue to get worse, unemployment, the joblessness that's happening in the country, jobs continuing to go overseas, the rich getting richer, we're seeing a quiet revolution happen in the streets right now with the Occupy movement, with the Take Back the Dream movement, with all these different movements that are happening right now that you'll see out in the groups out on Facebook, moveon.org. Everything right now is basically trying to combat, in, I'll say, a logical and counterforce way. But if things continue to deteriorate, I hate to think what's going to happen in this country. I mean, we saw the revolts that broke out over in England. And it was over these same types of issues that we're seeing here. Not so much the voting, but the taxing and the joblessness. And people are going to get desperate. People have to feed their families. People have to provide for their children. Keep a shelter over their head. You've worked hard all your life not to have it just eroding away. Foreclosure on your homes and things of that nature. There are people that have been without work out here over 2 years. And they're at the point now that they're exhausting their 401ks, they're exhausting whatever savings they have, whatever equity they may have had at home is completely gone. And it's just a matter of time before they lose their home and lose everything. And my fear is at that time, it's going to get very desperate across the nation. And people are going to start resort to whatever it is, whatever means necessary in order to be able to survive. We've got to get going now. We can do things right now, between now and November of next year, to start setting the course back right. But we've got to get involved. We've got to get up off our butts. Just like the president said, stop the whining and the complaining. Put on your marching shoes. Get out here. Get out here. Just like with the rally down in Washington, D.C. today, there should have been thousands of people out there today on the steps of the Capitol to make them aware that we're no longer going to be tolerating it. We're no longer going to stand for what they're doing. We ought to have a march there every other week. Let them know. Put the fear into them. Don't let them put the fear into us. Because that's what's happening right now. People are running scared because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to fight back. Unity, people, a movement across this country is what we need. We have to fight back, and we have to fight back now. And we don't have to do it violently. We just have to do it in mass. We have to do this in mass. We have to do it in large enough numbers so that they know that come November next year, they'll be unemployed ones, not us. That's what needs to occur. So, if you have access to a computer or anything like that, you can do your registration now. You can go to gottaregister.com, register to vote. You can fill out the form and print it out and mail it in from that site for any state in the country. It tells you exactly what's required. That's gottaregister, G-O-T-T-A, register.com. That's all one word, gottaregister. Fill out the form, print it out, and mail it in. If your state has a new voter ID requirement, you need to get that completed now. And you go to lawyerscommittee.org. And there's a they have what they call a map of shame on that website. And on it, you can see your specific state and understand if it already has a voter ID requirement in place or if there's legislation pending. And all but seven states have legislation pending for voter ID requirements. Five states actually vetoed it. Their governors vetoed it. But there are only seven that don't have a requirement for it at all. So what does that tell you? We got to get out there and we're looking into this stuff now. You need to have it now, not next year, not next October, not next September. Get it now. Keep for safekeeping in your wallet or someplace secure in your home so when it comes time to go in and vote, you've already got it done and there's no stopping you from that point. All right? Please do that, folks. Please do. All right. If you'd like to make a comment on this discussion, if you've had experience where you run into problems with trying to get registered to vote, please give us a call, 646-378-0763. Share with the rest of us what you've experienced. Let us know what you did overcome or if you've overcome yet or if still having problems. There are organizations out here that will help you, both from a social standpoint and from a legal standpoint. You know, you got the NAACP that's involved. You got Southern Poverty Law Center that's involved. You got lawyerscommittee.org. They're involved. Department of Justice is now looking into a lot of the different voter registration acts that are being passed in these states. The nice thing about it is you still have the issues with the redistricting that's going on, but at least those states that have been, I'll say, notoriously discriminatory in the past in the South, any redistricting that they plan to do has to be approved by the Department of Justice. Other states have signed some redistricting plans that have not been so favorable to the Democratic districts, and those are being challenged right now in the legal system. So please, get registered to vote. And I want to say this. You need to register not only from a national standpoint for presidential elections. You need to be registered so you can vote in every election that comes about. Special elections, local elections, as far as counties and districts, state elections. All of those elections matter because that's what's happening in the different states now. Every one of those states matter. As Democrats, we have to turn out, and we have to turn out in record numbers to each and every election that we have. Exercise your right to vote. They tried to take that from us before. You need to get out and vote. Make sure that the person that gets in that office is the person that has your best interests at heart. Don't just think that it doesn't matter, because it does. Your vote counts. Tell everybody that you get in contact with that you know your vote counts. It's important. We wouldn't be in a situation right now as a result of 2010 if people had turned out like they did for the presidential election in 2008. Democrats basically stayed home. We let this happen. Now it's up to us to right that wrong. Now it's up to us to fix this problem. And the only way is to register and take the time to vote in every election, because it matters. It really does. You may not necessarily see it immediately, but it does. It makes a difference. Look at what they're doing in unions. Look at what's going on with collective bargaining. Not only in private corporations, and it's happening to public servants, policemen, firemen, teachers. We have to stand strong and unite. And in order to do that, you got to vote. The only reason Congress listens to you is because you're registered to vote. That's the one weapon you do have against them, is the vote. Other countries look at us and shake their head. We have the right and we don't use it. They wish they had the right. You've got to stop being lackadaisical about it and get out and do it. It's not difficult. All it takes is some time. That's all it takes. And if you don't have time to vote, then guess what? You're going to be out there with nothing but time on your hands when you get fired off your job because they moved it overseas. Or they've decided to eliminate some department in the federal government or state government. Or they've decided to cut budgets and remove teachers and firefighters and police officers' positions. Come on, people. This is us. We're in a fight for our lives here. This is us. I know I sound like I'm on a rant, but I'm just, after today in that rally, it just meant so much to me to see that out there and to see the young people, the college students, who are so revved up about this and really wanting to affect change. And we can't sit on the sidelines. Those are our kids out there. We got to help them. We got to be in the march with them. And speaking of march, on October 15th, the National Action Network is going to be having a jobs march in the Washington, D.C. area. This was originally supposed to happen back in August when we were supposed to have the dedication of the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. So it has been rescheduled. So the National Action Network is having a jobs rally and march on October 15th. And the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial will be dedicated on October 16th. President Obama is scheduled to... And I'm not sure exactly who all is going to be involved in the jobs rally. I know Tom Joyner was part of it originally back in August. I'm not sure if he's in that or not. You can go to the National Action Network's website and look at that and register, and you can possibly get tickets to be at the dedication of the memorial the next day. So please do that. If we can get enough of turning out here for that, I think that'll make a big impression as well. National Action Network is a national movement. There will be people coming from all over. I know when it was originally scheduled to occur back in August, they were estimating somewhere along the line of about 2 million people coming here for that dedication ceremony. I definitely hope the numbers stay about the same and about that many people come out this time around. I would like to say, as we're getting close to winding up here, we lost a true American hero yesterday. Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth passed at the age of 89. He led Birmingham's battle against segregation, and he was the one that actually focused the national spot on the violent resistance to equal rights in the South and brought about change. When a judge ruled that the NAACP was outlawed, he actually founded the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights, and a year later founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He endured many brutal beatings. He was jailed. Home and church were bombed. He was a target of the Ku Klux Klan. He was truly a brave and courageous leader for the times, alongside Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And to quote Angela Hall of the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, she said, and I quote, "We get to live free here today because of the work of this man. We celebrate the election of our president because of the work of this man. Give this man the honor he deserves. He will surely be missed. He fought a good fight, and all I can say is well done, and I pray that he rests in peace. All I'd like to say, the founder of our group, Take Back the House, in 2012, Miss Evelyn Lugo's father has taken ill, and I ask for your prayers, his speedy recovery. Lastly, if you know of someone that has a small business or you have a small business and you want to have it advertised here, please send us an email or call to the show if you want to discuss it. Send us an email at letspeakonit@gmail.com. And I want to encourage you to join one of the existing Facebook groups to get into action. Spread word as far and as fast as possible. As I said before, our lives and our livelihood are at stake. Some of the existing groups that you might want to get involved with, again, Take Back the House in 2012. We're up to around 1,350 members now. We're growing at a very good and steady pace, and I hope it continues that way. The Reality of Rick Perry's Texas is a group based out of Dallas, Fort Worth. All right, sorry about that. It looks like we had another hiccup on the network. You got disconnected there momentarily. But again, I thank you all for joining in and listening at the show today. And that's all I have for this evening. Join again next Wednesday. I'm going to have a couple of folks on for some interviews that I think you'd be truly interested in hearing. So thank you very much, and until next time.